Welcome to District Sentinel Radio, the newscast of record for the left. I'm Sam Sachs.
I'm Rex Tillerson.
We are in the Harper is a Good Girl studios in Washington, D.C. Check out the website, districtsentinel.com.
Was that Rex Tillerson joke 24 hours too late?
Yeah, a little bit. Sorry. But that's okay.
Not Rex. It's Sam Knight, for the record.
We also are here joined by intern Nate, who made it into the studio in time. You were doing a little direct action today.
Yeah, me and a few other comrades from DC DSA and its brother and sister chapters went out to the DC Council of Governments meeting, interrupted that meeting to protest the secret negotiations with Amazon to potentially put its second headquarters here in the Washington, DC area.
We in DC are unfortunate because not only do we have one contestant in this fucking hideous Amazon competition.
We have three.
We have three. There's DC, Maryland, Northern Virginia. Is it Montgomery County specifically?
It's Montgomery County, yeah.
Okay, Montgomery County specifically. In Virginia, it's a... you want to fill us in?
There are a couple spots being floated. I think there's some idea of it being put out in Loudoun County, which is farther outside the city than obviously Arlington or Alexandria. But nevertheless, it's frustrating because it really seems like the headquarters are going here to DC. Bezos obviously owns the Washington. Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, owns the Washington Post. He has a sec. He just bought a big home here, refurbished it. Everything just sort of seems like it's lining up to put the Amazon headquarters here in Washington DC, which would be a big problem because we've seen in Seattle, housing prices have skyrocketed. I think Seattle has had the highest home prices. Home price rise for 13 years.
Seattle, the HQ of Amazon.
Yeah. And homelessness has ballooned over the past few years along with Amazon field gentrification. And Washington, D.C. is already in the middle of a housing crisis. Rents are skyrocketing here. Affordable housing investment is non-existent. And meanwhile, these negotiations for a potential Amazon headquarters are going on behind closed doors. Cities and municipalities design non-disclosure agreements with Amazon. And it's fucked up.
Yeah, and you mentioned Seattle. We see similar trends in San Francisco with the tech boom, it's insanely fucked up. We know that the vast majority of these jobs that come into whatever city that Amazon is bringing. People who live there, chances are they're not really going to get hired, at least the people who need those jobs the most, which is justifying this hideous tax cut race to get Amazon.
And in DC, it's particularly loaded because ever since the city was granted home rule, there's been a fear among citizens of color in this city that there's a plan by the political establishment to gentrify the city and turn it into basically a playground for the rich and the white. And Amazon seems like it very much is the plan.
Well, good work today, intern Nate. We'll consider it an excused absence from the Sentinel office this afternoon. A couple announcements. No live show this month. We're not doing District Sentinel Live in D.C. this month. We have to prepare for something special next month. Stay tuned for announcements on that. It might or might not coincide with a special holiday in April.
Hey, I was on Street Fight Radio last night.
Recorded
an interview.
The number one anarcho-comedy radio show in the country.
Yeah, on any station throughout the nation. And recorded with Murder Brian. Talked about some slimy Trump figures that I figured the Street Fight audience would like. So we talked about Mulvaney and Ajay Pai and Bill Emanuel. It was fun.
You know when that's dropping?
Soon, hopefully. So check out the Street Fight iTunes channel and however they release their podcasts and check it out.
We're going to get to the newscast here in just a second. Quick note, Senate banking deregulation votes are happening now, finally, as we're in the studio. We'll have Sam Knight sort through a lot of this stuff on tomorrow's show. Coming up later on today's show, we'll have another update on the awful pundit tournament. from Twitter's @DudeSlater. You won't want to miss that. But first, thank you to all our new subscribers on Patreon, patreon.com/districtsentinel. $5 a month gets you access to exclusive bonus content, and it also gets you a haiku. And we've got one to read right now.
This is for Aaron. What's up with that meme? The emoji one about B, letter, not bug.
Thank you, Aaron. I'm unfamiliar with this meme.
There's a letter B emoji, and like you would use it like instead of writing like District Sentinel Radio, you'd write like Bistrict Sentinel Radio.
Isn't it just because like sometimes iMessage will auto-fill in emojis for you, and like it will use the shaded letter?
Maybe,
I don't get it.
I think it's also because B is one of two letter emojis, or like three, so there are really only so many letter emoji jokes you can do.
It's a meme that makes me feel very old.
Well, thanks for the subscription, Aaron. And Sam, thanks for telling me about this new meme. The only letter meme should be the L, to send to people to take the L. It's Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. Here's the news. Teens across the country walked out of school to protest gun violence and congressional inaction on the issue. The U.S. House responded by passing legislation on Wednesday to boost funding for school hardening, like new locks on doors and bulletproof windows. The bill also sets up anonymous tip lines for people to report violent threats against schools.
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but bulletproof windows?
Yeah.
This is some fucking Hawks' shit. We're all just going to be digging bunkers in our fucking schools. We'll be going to math class in a fucking pillbox.
Well, we will have bulletproof windows, but the legislation doesn't address what most of the kids who walked out of school to protest want, which is laws restricting the availability of killing machines.
Willing to wager that very few of those kids want bulletproof windows.
Yeah, that's right. The House didn't consider any ban on assault weapons, nothing about bump stocks or high-capacity ammo clips, nothing about expanded background checks, although they did pass legislation with a meager expansion of background checks last month, but that's now stalled in the Senate. One thing I did notice today from the student actions, particularly here, mostly here in D.C., is how much the teens love Bernie Sanders. The guy was treated like a rock star when he made an appearance outside the U.S. Capitol to encourage protesters. Promising sign for those who want Bernie to run in 2020 and think he can win.
How dare he exploit those teens like that? Shameful. Shameful.
That was Hillary man Tom Watson's take today.
Senator Rand Paul is trying to sandbag President Trump's move to replace Rex Tillerson with Mike Pompeo. Paul announced Wednesday he would oppose Pompeo's nomination as Secretary of State and that he would also vote against the nomination of Gina Haspel, Trump's pick to serve as director of the CIA, which is, of course, Pompeo's current job. In opposing Pompeo, Paul cited the former congressman's hawkish views on Iran and on war and diplomacy in general. Hitting out against Haspel, Paul cited her involvement in the post-9/11 torture program and its cover-up. Haspel is currently CIA deputy director.
Thanks, Obama.
Paul said of Pompeo, quote, "I'm perplexed by the nomination of people who love the Iraq war so much that they would advocate for a war with Iran next." On Haspel, Paul said, quote, "My opposition to her is over her direct participation in interrogation and her gleeful enjoyment at the suffering of someone being tortured."
Jesus.
As we noted yesterday, Chuck Schumer expressed an openness to Pompeo's nomination, and Dianne Feinstein signaled she could support Haspel, despite having conducted an extremely thorough investigation into Bush administration torture.
Despite her report outlining a lot of Haspel's actions.
Yeah. Senator Paul said he'd be willing to filibuster both nominations. According to Politico, Paul said the impact of his opposition, quote, "depends on the solidarity of the Democrats." Bad news about Democrats and the concept of solidarity in general. But I digress. If every Senate Dem joined Paul in rejecting Haspel and Pompeo, the nominations would be delayed indefinitely. John McCain is currently absent getting cancer treatment in Arizona. Thad Cochran is retiring on April 1st. One Republican...
Or is he?
is there a...
Maybe it's an April Fool's joke.
Oh, I get it. I thought there was some shitpost conspiracy or something. Anyway,
I don't believe Thad Cochran's actually sick.
It's a Putin plot. So, one Republican absentee, one Republican no, and 49 Democrats voting together would kill a nomination, 50 to 49. But as we noted before, it is painfully so unlikely that Democrats will do this.
You know, I don't know how you can look at both how Obama forgave and forgot the Bush administration's crimes, see how Democrats are responding to the Haspel pick, and have any confidence they will do anything about the Trump administration when the time comes.
So one possible silver lining I will note is we said yesterday 14 Senate Dems voted for Pompeo's CIA nomination. Bob Menendez, who's on the Foreign Relations Committee, said he believes that people might hold him to a tougher standard as head of the State Department rather than head of the CIA. And he's going to have to go through the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Paul's already a no. And basically, if all the Democrats held together on that, it would be an embarrassment for McConnell and all Republicans. And they could still pass him through the Senate, but it would be a big black eye.
I'm not asking Democrats to do all that much. They don't need to grandstand. They don't need to make the rounds on TV. I'm just asking them to do as much as John McCain's brain tumor is doing to stop these nominations.
John McCain too said he might be opposed to Haspel because of her background on torture.
Yeah, but that's his brain tumor talking. I guess I ended the moratorium on John McCain cancer jokes. All right, moratorium's back on. No more of those jokes. More fallout from the Equifax data breach, this of the good variety. A suit has been indicted. Former executive at the company, John Ying, has been indicted on insider trading charges. Ying unloaded nearly $1 million worth of stock upon finding out about the Equifax breach, but before the public was notified. The grand jury in Atlanta's findings contradict claims made by the company that no executive involved in stock sales at the time knew of the breach. The SEC and the Atlanta's U.S. Attorney Office said the investigation is ongoing, which means more executives might face charges. They could include Equifax's chief financial officer, John Gamble, and a couple other executives who sold shares worth a combined $1.8 million just before news of the breach went public. Remember, nearly 148 million people were affected by the Equifax hack.
In 2016, President Trump roared into Western Pennsylvania like a lion. He's now out like a lamb. Boo. Democratic candidate Connor Lamb claimed victory after last night's special election in Pennsylvania's 18th congressional district. He currently has a 627-vote lead over Republican Rick Saccone. That's according to CNN. Or is it Saccone? You watch more TV than me, Sax. What is it?
Saccone's fine.
Saccone. All right.
I don't know.
Well, either way, Trump beat Hillary Clinton in the district by over 20 points just 2 years ago. Lamb has claimed victory, but provisional and overseas ballots are still apparently trickling in. They're due in by next Tuesday. No concession yet from Saccone. Paul Ryan was asked about this contest this morning during a press conference, and here's how part of that went down.
I think the candidate that's going to win this race is the candidate that ran as a pro-life, pro-gun, anti-Nancy Pelosi conservative. That's the candidate that's going to win this race. So this is something that you're not going to see repeated because they didn't have a primary. They were able to pick a candidate who could run as a conservative, who ran against the minority leader, who ran on a conservative agenda. You will have primaries in all these other races, and the primaries bring them to the left. So I just don't think that this is something they're going to be able to see a repeat of.
The White House had basically the same reaction, saying that Lamb was effectively a conservative. I didn't follow the race that much, and I know that Lamb ran a centrist campaign. I think Paul Ryan might be trying to cover his bum a little bit here.
He's trolling a bit, but it was a pretty good troll, to be honest.
It was a pretty good troll. Not sure about the Pelosi criticism, though. That doesn't really make him that much different from Democrats, because only 41% of Democrats want Pelosi as leader. That's according to a Politico poll from June. That's not a great percentage point if you're trying to be the leader of a party, only 41%.
I didn't follow the race too closely either, but from what I did gather, while Lamb ran a pretty socially conservative campaign on guns and abortion, he did pursue a more quote-unquote economically populist line on some economic issues, because he lives in a pretty... The district has a lot of connections to the steel industry.
They agreed on tariffs.
Yeah, so it's not quite the conservative frame.
Even on abortion and guns, I don't think he ran... I don't think Lamb ran what the House Freedom Caucus would consider a conservative campaign. Paul Ryan, just trying to make the best of a bad situation here.
He's putting spin on it.
Finally today, the president has tapped as his next top economic advisor TV personality Larry Kudlow.
Did Jim Cramer not want the job?
Kudlow will replace Gary Cohn as chair of the National Economic Council. Cohn left following the president's decision to implement new steel and aluminum tariffs. Kudlow has mostly been a columnist and a TV personality recently, but he should fit right in with a Trump cabinet full of former Wall Street guys. Kudlow was formerly the chief economist and senior managing director at Bear Stearns in 1987, for a cocaine habit forced him out in what is a very stereotypical story.
Trump just wants the cabinet or his administration to be a cable news room, I think.
Yeah.
That's where he's most comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. Just whatever the case, one thing is clear is that Wall Street guys love the booger sugar.
We have reached the end of the newscast, except for one item left to cover. We've reached the final two in the awful pundit tournament. So Dude Slater gives us an update.
What? My name is who? My name is Blue Eyes Matter Ben Shapiro. Hi, kids. You like settlements? Want to be lied to about the system works for our betterment? Since age 13, I've been a conservative voice because I told a radio host I'd stay celibate by choice. Hey guys, it's Dude Slater. I'm recording my last awful pundit tournament Vox Explainer. I knew that I would have a lot of fun doing this, but it's truly been an incredible competition. I want to thank you, District Sentinel, for being a part of this historic moment. Now let's get down to brass tacks. There is no consolation ladder. We're not going to talk about the losers. It's all about the main event. Our title match is none other than Ben Shapiro versus Dana Loesch. The gladiator boy versus the gun babe. I don't know how much there is to explain with Ben. Ben Shapiro is, in my mind, most famous for trying to press charges against Zoe Durr after an appearance on the Dr. Drew show. She threatened him with an ambulance ride if he wouldn't stop misgendering her, and the police declined to pursue Ben's case. People know Dana Loesch as the gun babe, but they don't understand how she's managed to bring incredibly toxic ideology into the mainstream. Dana's show on Blaze TV is gone, but she has appeared as a guest on television networks such as Fox News, CNN, CBS, ABC, HBO. Loesch was added to Talkers Magazine's Top 100 Heavy Hitters in 2012, around the time that she commented in defense of U.S. Marines that were videotaped urinating on the corpses of dead Taliban fighters, commenting, "I drop frown, do it too." That's me, though. I want a million cool points for those Marines. Is that harsh to say? During the 2016 Republican presidential primary, Dana endorsed Ted Cruz's campaign while disparaging the candidacy of Donald J. Trump. She was even published in the infamous National Review Against Trump edition. I guess Dana thought that Ted Cruz would do a better job protecting her constitutional right to shoot brown people with an assault rifle and piss on them afterwards. You know, after January 20th, 2017, Loesch became a passionate defender of the Trump presidency. So that's our title match. Good night and good luck.
Wow. I can't believe it's down to two. Dana Loesch, Cinderella story all the way, made it to the finals. Ben Shapiro, person who should be there, a heavyweight. Someone I think will probably pull it out.
I would put money on Shapiro pulling it out. He's a dynasty in the awful pundit pantheon, and he yeah, Loesch is just hit her stride at the right time, I think. But as we've seen time and time again, that will only take you so far.
Yeah, Loesch is like the 8 seed that has a hot goalie in the Stanley Cup Finals that makes it to the, you know. We're talking about Ben Shapiro here.
Yeah. Thank you, Nate. be sure to have your voices heard in this tournament. Follow Dude Slater on Twitter at Dude Slater and vote in the final round. Time for the listener rant line. Let's check out what the callers are saying.
Hi, Sam, and hello, Samuel, as well, and not hi to Intern Nate. Hey, guys, I just wanted to say to you, it's Football Crank, by the way, but playing my message yesterday, that was great, but, you know, I think I was a little hard on Intern Nate, you know, thinking back, and I know we talk about whether or not he's a worker. Is Intern Nate a worker? Is he not a worker? Back and forth, back and forth. But I think the bigger question is Intern Nate actually a human? Because he's such a piece of shit that I don't know if he's actually human. And because of that, I think maybe I should cut him some slack. So I'm sorry, Nate. You're such a piece of shit that I really shouldn't break your balls. So anyway, fuck you, Intern Nate. And thanks, Sam. Bye.
So much for solidarity from the left.
Football Crank. Going some hard.
Hostility.
Bringing the heat.
Yeah, going hard.
Bringing the heat.
Hey, Sam, Nate. So I was at a fucking campaign sort of party thing for King. Gilgis King for Congress, Pennsylvania 16th. Well, it used to be 16th. They changed it now. It's like the 11th, I want to say. Thank you. Anyway. So then I was thirsty. I was like, yo, let me, yeah, I'm thirsty. And this girl's like, do you want a LaCroix? And I was like, what the hell? I never even knew what LaCroix was. First time I ever heard about it was this show. And they're like, oh, I want LaCroix, I love LaCroix. I'm like, what the fuck? So I assumed it was, because you guys are like podcasters, so I assumed it was like some LA shit, some like fancy fucking shit, like kombucha or something. One of those things that like, I don't know, I was expecting it to be like some exotic shit. Yo, it is disgusting fucking bubble water. It is not even good. Yeah. And it looked all cheap. I was like, yo, Sam, this is what you're drinking, man. All right, I mean, do you, but to me, it's like, it better be cheap. I'll put it that way. If it's cheap, then all right. If you guys are paying top dollar for this, that's some bougie hipster shit. Because, well, anyway. So that was my LaCroix experience. And then I see people are going after Intern Nate again, and I just want to let everyone know, rise like lions from a slumber. We are the many, they are the few. And we'll never sleep as long as the interns of this world are being stepped on. So we haven't gone anywhere. Patria, I love my patria or muerte.
I have to say, if you're gonna stand with the workers, LaCroix is unionized, and it is apparently, someone told me, that it is part of the same union that Faygo workers belong to.
Hell yeah.
And you probably, I don't know, I just assume you drink cans of Coke and they're just going to rot your teeth and your brain.
Instead of supporting union workers, you're supporting death squads.
Look, I think it's pretty clear that LaCroix should send us money by word of mouth. We're getting people to drink the drink, even though they might hate it. The best we can do is just draw people to the drink.
Look,
so.
You're right. I should really stop giving them free publicity on this stupid fucking... Anyway.
Hey, guys. Hi, Sam. Hello, Nate. Hey, Intern Nate. What up, Nate? What up, Big Nate Dog? Nate Easy. How you doing, buddy? Hey, listen, I just wanted to call in and say that I think trophy hunting should be banned. I'm an animal rights advocate. As you know, I work with dogs and I love all animals. And I don't believe that if you enjoy killing something, you should be rewarded at all. So I think we should ban the trophy hunting. Don't let them. It should be stigmatized because it's immoral to enjoy killing something, and it's immoral to enjoy having the power of life and death in your hands. And I get it. Some people hunt deer, and you, as long as you use 100% of the animal and you don't enjoy killing it, then I find that to be morally acceptable. You thank the animal when you kill it because it's giving its life so that you may live. So that is the only moral way to consume animals as far as I'm concerned. So fuck all you hunter fucks. Crossbow me, bitch.
I agree with Jorts.
Yeah, I think trophy hunting is fucked up. It's gross. I mean, I think whaling is really gross and should be banned. You know, treat these creatures with respect if you're going to kill them.
Yeah, I like the
or face Jorts's crossbow.
Yeah, I like Jorts's standard that, you know, the people who are going to shoot the deer, they need to use 100% of it. They need to eat that asshole on that deer.
Yeah, take that deer asshole and make you some fine venison sausage.
All right, one last caller for today.
Hey, Sentinel boys, it's the Macho Man Rand Paul's neighbor. I just wanted to let Sam Knight know that I am the one that sang the Pregnant Sonic song. I didn't actually see the tweet when it initially went out. I saw it when I was just doing a casual Twitter search for Pregnant Sonic, and I wanted to see what I could find, because I've been going on the internet since Prodigy was still around, and my brain is soup. Bye-bye.
Oh, best call we've had yet.
Call the rant line 202-684-6108. Sponsors of the show include the Congressional Dish podcast, hosted by Jen Briney. Find it at congressionaldish.com. Another sponsor, levelnews.org. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or tune in by searching for District Sentinel Radio. Give us a review, give us a rating, tell your friends to listen. The newscast is back tomorrow. We're in D.C., so you don't have to be.